There's something really radical about Jesus' words. He doesn't just say, give money to the poor. No, sell your belongings and give alms. Who's ever actually told you to do that before? And then you will provide treasure for yourself in heaven. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. This whole passage we've been reading through is Luke chapter 12. All of it comes and began last week in our gospel. It all started with that guy asking Jesus about the inheritance, if you remember that. That's where this has all come from, talking about that inheritance. And, you know, we know very well that an inheritance, it's a really important thing. And in many cases, it's a great blessing to your children and your family. And in other cases, it ruins families. And we've all seen that happen too, right? Sell your belongings and give alms. Jesus looks at things very differently. I remember just not too long ago, actually, I got my first inheritance. My grandma had passed away, and it was not very much. It was a small amount, but she wanted something for the grandkids like that. And so I received this inheritance. Now, my grandma and grandpa, they grew up in the generation that lived the Great Depression, right? They lived World War II. My grandpa was in Guam. He got home, married grandma. She waited for him till he got home. Beautiful. Worked at a gas station. Didn't even have a car. Got enough money to get a car and eventually to buy some land, get a loan, and start farming. Now, you can't do that anymore. You can't work at a gas station, buy land anymore, right? All right? But he was able to do that. He was a good steward. He knew the value of a dollar. When they got older, as they started growing, and they didn't even realize perhaps how much their land was actually increasing in value, right? My grandpa still lived in a very simple way. I'm imagining there was a time that my grandpa went to church. When they gave a $20 bill in the collection, that was a big offering, right? And as you know, as people get older, you kind of get some of those things stuck in your head. So as they got older, my aunts and uncles would kind of start encouraging them. Well, maybe you could give a little more to the church. That $20 doesn't go as far as it used to anymore, right? So that was just kind of where my grandma and grandpa were at. They knew the value of a dollar, but that also meant as they got older, maybe they didn't always do that. And so when they passed, I kind of knew this. I knew that probably they had not given a lot. And when I got, again, it wasn't much. But in a sense, when I received that inheritance, I kind of knew it wasn't really mine anyway. It was just something that had been given to me. And I could either keep it, which would be fine, or I could give it on behalf of my grandma and grandpa to God, to donate it in some way. And I prayed, Lord, either one would be okay. What do you want me to do? And I felt that's what I was being convicted to do. So that's what I did. I gave that inheritance, and I donated it for poor for God. And I don't regret doing that at all. Sell your belonging and give alms. And you will have treasure in heaven. What does that mean, to have treasure in heaven? Does that mean, like, literally what Jesus said, I'm going to have these money bags waiting for me in heaven where they'll never get old and I'll get them when I get there? Obviously, that's a little too literal, right? So what is the treasure in heaven that we're supposed to seek? His next line, he says, where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. That gets kind of the heart of it. It has to do with love. What is it you love? What's your treasure? To have that be in heaven. Many of you know Saint Therese. She's a great, very popular, amazing, miraculous saint in the church, right? In her time, in the late 1800s in France, there was a way of looking at your life and heaven, where you offered your life, you gained as many merits as you possibly could, sacrifices that you offered every single day, and that gained you merit in heaven. And the more that you would offer with your life, the higher your place in heaven would be. And so they would have strive to really offer these great sacrifices and penances and things that they would do, because that meant they would be higher when they got to heaven. Mary was highest. And everybody else, and there's something true about this. We know when we offer things that has merit, that has value to God, but it seems like somehow there's something wrong too. Like somehow we're earning it, which we know is not right. You don't earn heaven. Saint Therese came along and she saw that kind of through the whole thing. And she came up with this new way. In fact, it wasn't new, it's the gospel. She wrote a prayer of offering her whole life to God. And in this prayer to merciful love of the Lord, she says this: after my time on earth, I do not want to lay up merits for heaven. I want to work for your love alone, with the one purpose of pleasing you. I wish at the end of my life that I will come before you with empty hands. And then your love, through your love, I will receive you as my eternal possession. No other throne, no other crown do I want but you, my beloved. That gets to the heart of it. What is my treasure? It's the love of Christ, period. And I want that everything I do isn't somehow laying up merits on earth or in any other way, but I'm doing it only and solely out of love for you, Jesus. Everything I do, I want to do it out of love for you. She called it her little way. What does that look like practically? That's great, but what does that look like? I think the first thing we look at is we look at our Lord. What's God's treasure? It is said that heaven for God is to dwell in the human heart. Our heaven is to dwell with God, right? What's God's heaven? His heaven was to dwell in us, to dwell with us. And when we look at the stations of the cross, when we look at Jesus' life, that's what we see, right? That's what he did. Jesus gave himself in love to the end for you, for me, because that's his heaven. That's his treasure. And in the end, he gave everything, absolutely everything he had in love for you and for me. His treasure was to dwell in the human heart. That shows us how to do this. Lord, I want to live my life in every way that everything I do is really showing that my treasure is you, Lord, and nothing else. It is purely out of love for you that I do everything I do. And I give up everything, and I do everything in my life for that purpose. And so I'm going to love this person. Why? Well, not just because out of a love for that person. You know, that's great. Jesus definitely tells us to do that. Don't get me wrong. Love one another. She said, I need to love this person. I have a love for this person. But this, St. Therese and Jesus are actually telling us a whole nother level of things here. Jesus, because I love you, I'm going to choose to love this person. Out of my love for you, I will love him. I will love her. Which means that when it's easy to love my spouse, I love my spouse out of my love for Jesus. And when it's hard, I still do it. Jesus, I love you, and I'm going to get up today and do that. I'm going to love my children. I'm going to do my daily job, everything I do today, Jesus, out of love for you. I'm going to do this today. And all the chores that I have at home and whatever it is. See, it's a beautiful way Therese has taught us, her little way to live family life. That every little thing I do, when it's done with that love, it actually becomes infinite value. Because it's done with the love for Jesus. Sell your belongings and give alms. It's not just about giving money and that somehow I'm buying my way into heaven. Lots of rich people give money to bad things. The point is that out of love for you, Jesus, I'm going to give to the poor and to the church and to you. Not because they need it, which they do, and that's a good reason to give. But I'm actually not even doing it because it's needed. I'm actually not giving to church because they needed a roof this year and they need a parking lot next year. Next year they're going to need something else. That's actually not why I give. Actually, I give, Jesus, because I love you. And out of love, I give. Jesus, I forgive because I love you. Not because they're sorry or even because they've changed anything in their life. But Jesus, I love you, and so I'm going to forgive. Because you've loved and forgiven me. And so I'm going to do the same out of my love for you. Out of love, I'm going to take good care of everything you've given me, Jesus. To be a steward. Jesus tells the story in the gospel of the servant, right? The servant who takes good care of the household, and the master comes home and finds the servant taking good care of things. Now, it's one thing to be a good servant, a good steward, and to take care of everything that God has given me, the master has left me, so that it can do the best possible. This is a good steward. If you had a steward taking care of your land, of your house, of your family, of your job, your business like that, you would be proud of that person. They would get employee of the month, right? They've done well, and that's a good thing. My grandpa was a good steward. But Jesus is saying something even more here. He didn't just take care of the house, the master's property, because he wanted to do the best with it and make it into something great and make money. He did it because he loved the master. Jesus, master, because I love you, I'm going to take care, good care of everything that you've entrusted to my care. That's the good steward. That's how we're supposed to live our lives. When we live our lives like that, every day of doing that, everything we do, because Jesus, you've given this to me, and out of love for you, I'm going to do the best, take the best care possibly that I can of what you've entrusted to my care. When the master comes and finds you that way at the end, and you're living like that, blessed is that servant, he says. Blessed is that servant. In fact, the master will have you sit at table and recline, and he'll begin to wait on you. A shift happens. A change happens. The servant becomes a friend. In fact, isn't that exactly what Jesus did at the Last Supper? He put on the towel, and he bent down, and he washed his apostles' feet. And then he told them, you see, I no longer call you servants. You're not just a servant. You're not just serving a master. I call you friends. Because you notice at the end of the day, this is the goal. It's friendship with Jesus. When you live this way, what do you gain? Nothing. You actually gain nothing. There's not going to be a name on a plaque. There's not going to be anything. Because that's not why I did it. I only did it for him anyway. You don't gain anything, but what you do gain is that your love for Jesus has become everything to you. You see, that's the point. That's the treasure. Because that's what waits for you in heaven. One last thing. You know, I've noticed as we've gotten more abilities with gravestones, with tombstones, we've got more ability to put designs and stuff on them. I've noticed a shift. We can put all kinds of things on them, and so you begin to see, like, someone puts their farm on the tombstone, or they put their truck on the tombstone, or what their favorite activities were, the organizations, or a young child to put, you know, our puppy or whatever it is on the tombstone. And these are all valid. These are beautiful things. But there's something in me that always kind of shifts a little bit. When I would go down in the catacombs in Rome, and they knew which tombstones were Christian, because on their tombstone was what? It was some symbol of eternal life. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Because if at no other moment in my life than on my tombstone, isn't that what should be there? Something about not this world, but about where I'm going. Something about my faith, about God, about eternal life. Because that's the whole point. And we tell our loved ones that. When they're dying, we tell them, if you see Jesus, go to him, right? How many of you have done that with a love? Go to Jesus. We want you to go. Maybe what we don't always realize is by saying those words, what we're also saying is, you have to leave everything else behind. Because you can't take anything with you. You got to leave the farm. You got to leave the money. Leave the possessions. Leave your career. Leave your work. Leave all the great organizations you belong to. Actually, all that, even your family. When you tell your loved one to go to Jesus, what you're telling them is, you need to leave us behind. You can't take me with you. That's the hardest thing for a dying person to do, right? To leave their family and trust that God will take care of us. You can go. Because in the end, that's really all that you have. go to be with Jesus. Because we know at that moment that that's all that matters. That all you have left at that moment is the love between you and him. And all that you've done to show him that love. That's your treasure in heaven.